Here we go again. It's time to talk.
I thought it was April Fool's Day when I heard that one.
Get me off the air before I have a heart attack.
We will have nothing to see for it. There's been many false dawns.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
The kindness of Cork people will never let you down.
Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversation. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. Paperwise this morning, the front and inside pages of the Echo talk of a woman, a mother, who suffered catastrophic lifelong injuries after her son attempted to murder her. And as the Echo puts it this morning, she hits out at the inadequate community health services that she said are unable to deal with people with complex mental illnesses. She almost died, Mary Coughlin. Perhaps call in my apologies, when her son, Garrod, he's been diagnosed with schizophrenia, beat her and repeatedly stabbed her. It's awfully, awfully alarming. And lucky to be alive. In fact, she said that, and she said, despite the visible wounds, I feel so lucky that I am alive. I will return to that story because I have an interesting email from somebody who wonders about schizophrenia and those that perhaps are living with schizophrenia and not getting the services that they need and the help and the intervention from an overworked and underfunded and underperforming mental health system in Ireland. But many of the papers today talk about this portal in Dublin. Probably the roughest area of Dublin they could ever think of putting a portal like this. Now, this is, for want of a better term, a big circular camera type dish. And, you know, you literally, it's a live picture feed between Dublin and New York. And people are acting the maggot. And as the Star says this morning, this is why we can't have nice things, as in NYC things, because there are morons abusing it and doing all sorts of stupid stuff there, like holding up videos and pictures of the Twin Towers in flames and collapsing down. The papers this morning say that they've had to turn it off now for a period of time. The Star calls it portal combat, pun on Mortal Kombat, crackdown on the antisocial use of the live link to New York. How they're going to make changes to this? Because if it's live, it's live. And people will continue to act the maggot and taunt those on the other side in New York. I have to say that there have been occasions when the New Yorkers can give as good as they get. Someone was holding up potatoes recently, as in mocking us over the potato famine. But chapter and verse, you could not have thought or picked a worse place. It's around O'Connell Street and North Earl Street, and I believe that's not too far from Talbot Street, because it's an appalling area of Dublin City, and it's a known spot for antisocial activity and, you know, heroin use and shooting up and fighting and robbing and knife crime and all sorts of things like that. It's just, who came up? I mean, if they wanted to do something like this in Dublin, fair enough, but wouldn't you put it in St. Stephen's Green? I mean, funnily enough, what's going on in Dublin, it did lead to an arrest, actually, one of the incidents. A woman was moved on by Gardaí at the weekend. She had images of 9/11 being shown to the New York side, and then people are mooning and showing their backsides to the camera and to people in America, and all the Americans are seeing then is all of these heads in sports gear and tracksuits and thinking, wow, look at all of the sporty people, look at all of the athletic people in Ireland. They don't get it, like, that's not what it's about at all. So as to how they're going to crack down with it, I have absolutely no idea, but it's appallingly sad, really, isn't it? It just goes to show, others then holding up swastikas into the cameras. I mean, get a life. It's just awfully depressing, isn't it? And I don't know, is it just a fair reflection of life in Ireland in 2024. I can't help but think that it wouldn't have been, I mean, I don't know. Now that I'm thinking out loud, I have no idea. Would it have been the very same carry-on if this portal was down here in Cork? But anyway, your thoughts on it are welcome. The world we live in. Obviously, though, this was going to happen, considering where they put it. I'm not necessarily saying Dublin, but certainly the area of Dublin. Anyway, we'll see what they'll do and turn it on again. And I don't know. I don't see people starting to behave. You're going to have all sorts of miscreants, as you do in Dublin City, on any given day. Meanwhile, in other news this morning, of course, big changes to payments to Ukrainian war refugees. It will happen not today, not tomorrow, next month, but in 12 weeks' time. It will mean that everybody who has fled war from Ukraine, all Ukrainian refugees, regardless of when they came to Ireland, will have their payments, their weekly payments, slashed. 38.80 is what will be paid per adult, and 29.80 per child in designated accommodation centres. Now, they're all over the country in different forms and fashions. I won't go into that now, but there are thousands of them who at the moment are receiving €232 per week, job seekers. That will be gone within 12 weeks, and they'll be paid the very same now, those that say came between 2022 and 2024. They'll be paid the very same as those that arrived after March of this year when everything changes. Well over 105,000 Ukrainian refugees. So too many are being encouraged to come here because of the amounts of money that's paid. I mean, you have to call it as it is. That's why they're jumping in now and making this change. It's like as if they never saw this coming, isn't it true? Bizarrely then, I heard on RTE Morning Ireland yesterday words, because they were talking about this, words along the lines of a presenter saying that up until now, Ireland has been very much in line with many other European countries in what's paid. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. This is the very reason why the changing was made, because we were not in line with many other European countries. We were very generous. Others were. There was a few that were a little bit lower, but an awful lot of them were nowhere near the payments. Now, imagine other things will continue. The payment might well be 38.80 a week, but children's allowance will continue. The accommodation will continue to be provided. Meals will continue to be provided. Medical cards, taxis to work for some. All of that will continue, but the actual payment itself will reduce to 38.80. Thousands of Ukrainian refugees will have their way, I mean, over 100,000 of them within the next 3 months. The idea is to discourage people in any way, shape or form from coming to Ireland in the numbers that they are coming. That has nothing to do with asylum seekers. That makes the papers as well today. The Mail is saying that there are asylum seekers coming to Ireland who have mental disorders or they are victims of human trafficking. They're not being screened at all by the state. Certainly the big issue here would be people with mental disorders not being screened by the state, such as the extreme pressure they're under with the amount of asylum seekers wishing to come here. That's got to be a worry, doesn't it? So, in other news, this is an online story from the Examiner. Was it the Examiner or the Echo? I'm not 100% sure, but I got it online overnight. Certainly a Cork story. Do you remember the woman who stole 22 grand from her dead cousin? It's the story of Sheila Hearn, who got to jail for that, but was released from Limerick Prison earlier this week after serving just 7 days because of chronic overcrowding in the Irish prisons. Oh, my apologies. It's actually a Sunday World online story. So Sheila Hearn is back home in Ballyhooly. Nothing to do with her. She went to jail to do her time and I suppose was willing to serve the sentence. But the prison sources confirmed that she was released because there simply isn't enough room to accommodate the number of prisoners being sent by the courts into custody. Like there's a female prison in Limerick with 130% capacity at the moment. 130% capacity. It was designed for 56. They have at least 73. So they literally have to send people home. You might recall that the story behind Sheila Ahern is that she was sentenced after the court heard 2 days after her cousin Kathleen Cahill passed away. Sheila Ahern disguised herself as the deceased woman and withdrew 22 grand from her credit union account. And you can't be doing that, lads. In other stories making the papers today, The Echo on its inside pages has the victim impact statement of a young Cork woman who woke up to find a friend raping her in her family home. She said in the victim impact statement that at one stage she walked into a church and asked God to take me, because of the aftermath and the effects of the attack. She was reading from her victim impact statement, the Cork woman, at the Central Criminal Court. There was a 25-year-old man yesterday was jailed for 6 years. The judge said that the injured party, the raped woman, should be able to feel safe in her own environment, but was raped and sexually assaulted in her own home by someone she knew, and that the accused man, who's now gone to jail, took advantage of the victim's vulnerability as she was clearly intoxicated. Yes, but asleep. Papers this morning talk of those of you that pay mortgages, those of us that have mortgages to pay or bank loans to pay back, and there's a massive gap now. If you're not shopping around, and if you can't even look towards, you know, perhaps changing your mortgage, that's a sad day for you, because there could be a difference of nearly €8,000 annually if you stick with your current lender. And that's a front page of making the Independent. It's an awesome amount of money, isn't it? €7,812 more Mortgages for some people must be absolutely massive, like serious ball and chains. Another thing, of course, that's very much in the papers and the news and talking on air, we'll have more of it this morning, is GAGO Gate. Yesterday I was telling you that the GAA boss, Charlotte Burns, has come out and said you'd almost think that it was election season, the way the politicians are criticising the GAA for putting all sorts of football and hurling matches behind paywalls. It's not a laughing matter, actually, because at the moment, of course, RTE is looking for a €40 million bailout, right? They misappropriated and did all sorts of stupid things with taxpayers' money that was given to them in golden handshakes and lavish dues and payments to all sorts of presenters and things like that. And at the same time, then both RTE and the GAA have this nice little arrangement where they have GAGO, where all of these matches are behind a paywall. Football and hurling are national games, and you have to pay €12 to watch them. You couldn't make this up. I don't know how the GAA would, or RTE for that matter, would ever be able to make an argument to say that this is okay, this pay-per-view business. It's interesting, though. I think maybe it might be a bad idea to try and get RTE and the GAA before an Oireachtas committee and give them a damn good grilling. One other story, actually, to do with hurling, and this is the match, the Limerick-Cork match at Páirc Uí Chaoimh at the weekend. I remember yesterday morning I read out a text from somebody who was there and said it got very scary at one stage because of a post-match pitch invasion that led to some people being knocked down. If you were listening, I was telling you about that yesterday. Well, Tony Lean has more of this, the sports editor of the Examiner this morning, where Munster GAA chiefs have confirmed now that there was a terrified young supporter injured in the post-match pitch invasion at Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Saturday. And they've warned again of the serious risk to players and supporters because of such behaviour. But, I mean, you got to look at this closer, because here's what we know. There was chaotic and dangerous few minutes at the Blackrock end. It's a thrilling match, nothing to do with the match. So it resulted in injuries and the hospitalisation of at least one 16-year-old Cork teenager who was caught under a surge of people trying to get onto the pitch because people wanted to celebrate the victory. So there's also the suggestion that there were two other teenage girls suffered serious knee and ankle injuries in the episode. And the Cork teenager's parent said that their daughter was knocked to the ground and was terrified that she was being crushed and trampled on. She was treated at the ground by St. John's ambulance. It was at the Blackrock end. Someone, or somehow, the gates to the pitch swung open. There was a surge. She was caught in the surge, knocked to the ground, terrified she was going to be crushed and trampled, and badly hurt. So she covered her head and genuinely feared for her life. Now, at one stage, a man fell on top of her, and his knee was pushing down on her neck. So thankfully, some older female stewards saw her and pulled her to safety. Otherwise, we could be having a totally different conversation this morning. We really and truly could. And then the papers this morning talk of all sorts of different matters involving sons and daughters and beautiful babies. There's that awfully sad story making the front of the Sun today. The tragic death of a small little tot called James Malloy. He was only 18 months old. He was hit by a car on a halting site in Ennis. And it's a front page story with the inside page details as well regarding his funeral. He's only 18 months old. How tragic is that? And then I will be chatting, I hope to do it maybe today if at all possible, I'll be chatting with James Healy of Watergrass Hill, who lost his beautiful little son, Matthew, back in February 9th down in Waterford. And while I can't talk about the tragic death of Matthew because of, you know, legal issues and guard investigations, I had a beautiful conversation last night with Matthew's dad, James, one of the loveliest men you will ever meet. It was just so lovely to chat with him, even as he's going through so much difficulty and so much grieving. But there is a big event happening at the weekend up in James Healy's home parish of Watergrass Hill. And it's in memory of his son, Matthew, who would be 7 this weekend coming. He would be celebrating his 7th birthday if he was still amongst us. But boy, did that kid love life. So there's a big event to mark his birthday and also to raise funds for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And it's a big vintage car and motorcycle run, which is happening in Watergrass Hill on Sunday from 1 o'clock onwards. So they got the big, and anybody with a motorcycle or a vintage car is welcome to come along and be part of it. The actual gathering and the run starts at 2 o'clock. They'll be gathering from 1 o'clock, and after the run, then the motorcycle and vintage car run. There'll be music and food trucks and all. It's a wonderful place to be if you want to be part of it on Sunday. But I'll be talking more about that a little later on this morning. The Echo today then talks about 18 million euro that's going to be spent to redevelop Spring Lane halting site in Ballyvillane. That's been signed off on Cork City Council. Again, I mention this for a lot of different reasons. One reason is I really and truly hope now we're getting value for money for 18 million euro to construct 27 residential units at Spring Lane and Ellis's Yard. So it's been passed by City Council. It's a big chunk of money. The Green Party councillor for Cork City Council's North East Ward recently said, and he's Oliver Moran, that he said when the councillors went up there, it opened people's eyes to the conditions, and few would believe that anybody would exist and live in conditions like this outside of the third world. Now, I get that. Ken O'Flynn said that the plan is flawed because they're living with livestock, and until that changes, nothing's really going to be fixed. Actually, he makes, I don't know whether you'd find this funny or not, but he says you can't ignore the elephant in the room, and the elephant in the room are actually horses. And then over in America, you move from horses to horse face, because that was a very derogatory term of abuse that Donald Trump used against Stormy Daniels. But boy, he's getting a right clouting at the moment. There's a gag order, and Donald Trump has to sit in his hands now and keep his mouth zipped, because he'll go to jail if he says anything. He's been gagged by the courts. But you've got before the courts at the moment giving testimony is Michael Cohen. And for 10 years, they were thick as thieves. They've fallen out now. And Cohen wants revenge, and he is dumping it on Trump at the moment. He's really implicating the former president in all sorts of hush money payouts. One of them, you may recall, one stage was a doorman who had some story that Trump fathered a child out of wedlock. Cohen was told to handle it. He paid the doorman 30 grand on behalf of Trump. Then there was another Playboy model, a girl called Karen McDougall. She allegedly got 150,000 euro money, hush money, to stay quiet. And of course, we know about the Stormy Daniels payouts. And I believe that Cohen is far from finished. More testimony today. And in lighter news, if you like your pizza, and I certainly do, I love a good four cheese pizza. I love the big meat feasts, me. Perhaps you're like me. Not a huge fan of the old margarita. I just find them a bit Dullsville. But whatever you're having yourself. But how would you fancy a snail vindaloo curry? It's going to be hot. Snails are nice, actually. The French do them really well with garlic, and they, you know, do a beautiful job with them. But finely chopped snail with bacon and vindaloo curry paste. Apparently, this could be the next thing. Add a couple of slimy pickles on top, and away you go. And you heard in the news this morning, Dyson always amaze me, the amount of money they can get for their products. And this is coming from someone who's been through 3 or 4 different Dyson vacuum cleaners and Hoovers, and I've always managed to smash them or break them. I don't know whether it's me or whether it's the actual product, but I've given up on the Dysons now, moved over to Miele instead. But they now have a mop, which is not a mop, really. It's a motorized, computerized Dyson product like the rest of them, with all of this cyclonic interaction for £599, which is probably very little change out of 700 euro for a Dyson mop for fear. And this is for wooden floors now. This is all you can use it on. I don't even know if it works on tiles or whatever, but go for it. Add it to your Dyson collection, why don't you?
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Okay, pick up the phone, get involved. Text 0868 104 106. Pick up the phone, give us an old call on 0818 104 106, which is exactly what Finbar did. Finbar, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Are you you're a member of a GAA club yourself? I think it's SARS, is it?
I am. I'm in SARS below in Dunmire, Neil.
Okay. Can I just ask you, were you at Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Saturday for the Cork Limerick game?
I sure was.
And after the final whistle and the jubilation of the victory, what happened?
Well, I would say, if I could just revert this, Margaret, Neil, I was in the ground about 5:30 with my son, right? So we went quite early. And I was chatting to fellas alongside me from Limerick and from Cork and whatever. But I noticed, like, in amongst the crowd when it started filling up, like, a lot of young people coming in, like, they were well, I'd say, lubricated well after taking a good drink, right?
Okay. Are you saying they looked visibly drunk, is it?
Yeah, very much so.
How old?
I had two young girls asleep on my shoes and on my feet outside my son. Oh, I was standing up at the back wall now over in the right-hand corner, we'd say, on the north stand, we'd say.
Passed out from drink?
Passed out in the world. They were completely asleep. And there was a lot of guys as well. And I saw young girls with naggins of vodka in their handbags or whatever kind of bag they were carrying.
How old?
Neil, I'd say 15, 16, 17, that kind of way.
As young as 15?
Yeah, as young as that, yeah. There was a couple of girls now, they had no interest in the match at all. And, like, well, my point is, Neil, like, I mean, well, I remember when the stadium was first built, right, and I remember going into, like, the North Stand or South Stand or behind the goal, whatever, bags were normally checked by security. Do you know, so I'd like, maybe have we laxed off a little? And I'm not saying, by all means, have a drink at before the game and enjoy the game and have a drink, whatever, with your friends, whatever. But this is going into the stadium, do you know?
No, not 15, not 16, not 17-year-olds, no?
No.
And another thing, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds should stay the hell away from vodka or gin or whiskey or rum.
You can't get the pint or the glass, the plastic glass. So they're hiding the naggins inside the bags.
So if they were asleep at your feet...
Asleep.
So you were to keep an eye on them then, rather than watch
they were rolling. There was one particular guy, I did, there were a boyfriend and girlfriend, he was trying to hold on to her. And there was another girl then, she projectiles, she vomited all over the place. And that created a gap then amongst the stand, above people above the stand, who didn't particularly want to be looking at this, like, and trying to join the match at the same time.
It's so depressing. This is so depressing when I hear this.
You have people, you know, they're of all ages, like, there was an elderly gentleman over to my right-hand side, and, like, I would imagine he was, like, myself, a GA fan, and he was like, you know, I'd rather be somewhere else now than be up here looking at this, like. So it's quite annoying as well when you're trying to watch a match. I had a 10-year-old son, a 12-year-old son with me, and he was, you know, he was blocked out by people taller than him and young boys and girls taller than him in front of him, messing and doing the fool. And then you have this drinking carrying on going on, you know.
And there was a time, was there, when everybody that went in toting a bag or something, the bag would be checked, is it?
It would be checked. I remember going into the main stand, the south stand, and not my bag. But I'd have a carrier bag, I'd have a bottle of water, a few sandwiches, whatever, for my younger lad. And they'd just do a quick spot check on your bag and it's, you know, they'd make sure that you weren't carrying anything that you shouldn't be carrying, like. But, like, okay. I think it's a lot more relaxed behind the terraces. And I think, like, when I looked over to my left, there was the group that would be under the scoreboard, and they were dancing and driving, and there was a few flares went off and so on and so forth. But there was plenty of guards and security, but there was nobody over where we were.
That's so the BlackRock end, is it?
Yeah, the BlackRock end.
So what's capacity there? On a given day, it's 45,000, is it?
42.5, I think, is capacity. I think, really,
Okay. Were those tickets hard to come by?
Pretty hard, pretty hard. I mean, like, there would have been plenty of people that wouldn't have maybe booked them online or gone to their clubs or whatever straight away. So then you're going to the likes of Centre and Super Value, and then by that stage they were gone. So, like, you have plenty of people outside the ground as well, kind of, you know, hoping they might get a ticket here and there. But, like, my point is, like, there was people in the ground, young people, passed out from drink. And, like, I was looking at them, I said, they have no interest in the match whatsoever. Do you know what I mean? If you asked them who was playing, they probably couldn't tell you. So, like, they're going with the boyfriends and they're just drinking way too much and not enjoying the day.
Shouldn't be drinking at all at 15 or 16. It's depressing to hear. I mean, it's not anything that should surprise me. It's becoming more and more prevalent than ever before. Could I ask you then about, so we'll park the drinking teenagers, if you don't mind. Yeah. This is these are other innocent teenagers who were there, some of them with family members, others, you know, behaving themselves there to watch a match. A gate blew open or something. Did you see any of that?
I did, because we kind of stayed on for there was an outpouring of people onto the field because of the excitement of Cork beating Limerick. And that was all brilliant. My son was, like myself, I was ecstatic. I was enjoyed. It was a great game of hurling, and fair play to Cork for winning. But I suppose the pressure from what was up in the terrace pushing down towards, we say, the wall and the fence that surrounds the field, I felt it looked like that the guards needed to open the gates. Do you know what I'm saying to you? Because if you were down the front or near the front watching the match standing up, you felt this pressure coming from behind you. Like you're talking about thousands of people pouring.
Why was there pressure?
Gate.
Why were people trying to pour down
to a
gate?
They all wanted to get onto the field, Neil. They all wanted to get onto the field.
Even though when they were pushing or trying to get down, the gate was clearly closed?
Clearly closed, yeah, but okay. They were quick to open it. I seen one guard now, or security guard or whatever, and they were quick to open it, which was the right thing to do because...
Okay, so when they did, were you caught up in anything?
No, I stayed above. I was up by the back, very back wall on the right-hand side, as I said, and I stayed away from trouble and all that. And when it eased off, we just went home. We didn't bother going onto the field. But, like, that was the main reason. Like, you'd have a lot of groups, a lot of pods, and a lot of groups of 15 and 20 rows coming together and like that. And when you multiply that then by thousands, they're all wanting to go on the pitch the minute the whistle goes to celebrate with the team. And that's understandable, too. That's an enjoyment moment. But you forget about the people that are below you when you're up the back. So you're putting more and more pressure down on the people that are standing closer towards, we say, the gate at the corner of the field.
And that led to maybe three teenage girls suffering serious injuries when they were trampled upon.
Yeah.
I mean, even those that were injured. What?
I was just saying that speedy recovery to all those people. That
I mean, it's even alarming saying that you had teenage girls seriously injured. One girl had a man fall on her and crushed her. And actually was, unbeknownst to him, his knee was blocking her windpipe.
Oh, Jesus. As you just said, that sounds serious enough, And, you can imagine then, there are a couple of girls that were injured as well. They've picked up knocks and injuries as well, I would compliment the security and the guards because the gates were open fairly quickly. They had to because you take the pressure off the stands then as well,
Okay, so it could, if those gates hadn't been opened, we could have had more injuries, you're suggesting. Are pitch invasions expected, are they, in the case of a victory?
Yeah, it's been a long time since Cork won a match like that, especially a big match beating the All-Ireland champions. But saying that, I just compliment the lads for opening the gates.
Good stuff. Because the text here says, if those gates weren't opened, remember, it could have been another Hillsborough.
We don't know, and thankfully we can't say. And we're not talking about things like that, but at least it took the pressure off the stands. And Neil is my point. But very disappointing, though, and very depressing,
that you'd have young teenagers.
Yeah, it was a good reaction. I applaud the guards and I applaud the security on the day for opening the gates, just to take the pressure off the stands. Because as you said, things could have been a whole lot worse.
Are you going to hurling and football matches all your life?
I am. I sure am. I'm involved with my club here in Sarsfields. I'm actually originally Blackrock, but I'm Sarsfields for the last 15, 16 years. So I coach and I manage on that club. And we have a bus trip there now on Sunday where we're taking the under-12 team up to Templemore for a match first, and we're all going then into Semple Stadium for the Cork and Tipperary match afterwards.
You didn't hear anything at all about the Northmon Waterford match, no? Did you?
I didn't. I have no update on that as of yet. No.
You might want to have a listen to this. Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Finbar. Thanks for taking the call this morning.
Okay, God bless you.
Staying with GAA, I went to see a match on the 8th of May in Mahon, Cork, between the Northmon and BCS Waterford. I'm from Cork myself. It was embarrassing to listen to. This has nothing to do now with the Northmon nor Waterford. It has to do with the parents on the sideline. It was embarrassing to listen to Cork parents carrying on at the sideline, abusing the few Waterford supporters that travelled up, says Ken. The Waterford team, BCS, had a mixed race player, and all I could hear from the Cork women parents was, look at the black one. They've Linford Christie playing for them. Every time the score went wide, every time the Waterford team score went wide, the women parents again saying, serves the Waterford knackers right. I won't be repeating that word. I'll say it just once. It's repeated on numerous occasions in the email. What a total embarrassment to Cork to stoop as low as they did. When Northmon were losing, they were telling them to belt them with the Hurleys. This is the supporters now. A number of them family members supporting. At the end of the day, it's a camogie match with children playing. And on this day, the Cork supporters had no morals and left their school down badly on the sideline. If kids and parents of children going to the North Monastery are taught to behave in this manner and find it acceptable. I just don't know what to say in this day and age. The coaches nor the referee never intervened when the parents became so abusive. The North Mon players were not the better team on the day, and the Cork parents nor team couldn't handle it, but reserved themselves to decided to engage in verbal abuse and bullying tactics towards the children on the opposition on the field. It made the whole game a very unpleasant experience. If this is representing the school, then people should be ashamed of this sort of behaviour. It's a game and it's supposed to be fun. Thank you. And I'm not mentioning that email in any way, shape or form to be critical of the North Mon, but critical of the supporters and the parents who made some very derogatory and nasty and racist comments about a particular player, and then going on about calling the team K-N-A-C-K-E-R-S and belt them with the hurley and all of this carry on. Parents just take it way too far. And again, the impact that it's having, of course, on those on the pitch. And I don't know, maybe children playing sport like that, hearing their parents behave in that manner, are mortified themselves. Anyway, text 0868104106. Actually, I have another email like that. I think it has to do with soccer. It's another email that I received recently from somebody who was at a soccer match where kids were playing and the parents were also appallingly badly behaved. Text 0868104106. Mike, after the break.
Call Neil now. 0818104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Get involved in the conversation. Text 0868104106. Mike, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Neil.
I didn't ask Finbar about Gago. Perhaps I should have, but I'm asking you because the GA are pushing back now, saying that it's kind of ironic that you have the likes of Simon Harris and Micheál Martin rowing in on the row about behind the paywall, that as if they're almost kind of electioneering and using it as a political football. That's what the GAA are saying. Your thoughts on this paywall business?
That is an element to it at the moment because of the present timing of the elections in June. That was a factor there. But in the overall context, Neil, this should not be happening. Our national game should be free to air on the national channel, on the national networks. I think it's all wrong. It's crazy. You know, my problem with it is Cork play 4 championship games in Munster. 3 of those games are put behind the paywall. Now, that, it, to me, is it stinks. Because, like, if Cork...
Cork's the biggest county, incidentally.
That's exactly why. The fan base. That's what they're targeting. Now, if Cork were beaten on last Saturday night by Limerick, our championship was effectively over. So, we had one game on RT, which is next weekend, next Sunday, against Tipperary. You know, if Cork were beaten last weekend, our championship was over anyway. So, it'd been a dead rubber game. There'd been no interest from Cork to watch it.
So tell me about the Cork Tip game. Where is that being shown?
That's been shown. That's the only game that RT are actually showing, the Cork 4 championship games, which is all wrong. To me, it's all wrong.
They're saying they need to make 500 million, half a billion in funding they need for all sorts of national infrastructure projects for clubs.
Yeah. Look, I understand that there's a lot of projects coming online with the GAA. They're doing a lot of work with new stadiums, investment, that's fine. But I mean, you've got to be practical as well. Like, you know, you've got to promote the game. And this is not promoting hurling, this is demoting hurling, actually, because a lot of the elderly are not getting the chance, who would follow GAA all their life, can't see the games. A lot of the young people can't see the games. You know, we should have it on RT, as I'm concerned, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, the deal here is that if you're an elderly person that isn't tech savvy, not mention that you mightn't have the €12, you don't have a laptop, you don't know how to Chromecast from your phone or from the app to your TV, it's game over for you, really.
It's very unfair, I think. And a lot of guys I've spoken to, oh, but I have it. This is I'm all right, Jack, like the rest. That's not the attitude. You know, we should row in on this together. I would say what we should do is boycott GAA Go and let's see what happens then.
What though? I mean, I'm just pushing back at you now. I'm dead against this business. They're both of our, you know, hurling, football, camogie, they're our national sports, right? We pay our license fee. RT get massive amount of subsidy. The GAA make a profit out of this. RT makes an additional profit out of the pay-per-view. But if there's 4 matches on at the same time, right?
Well, you see,
where do you put them live? If there's 4 of them,
this has brought all this thing to a head because what they've done, they made a complete mess of the championship structure. We have 11 week, the hurling championship and the football championship is played in an 11 week cycle. which means we're playing the All-Irelands in July, which is absolutely nuts anyway. The All-Irelands will be pushed out to August, maybe early September. So you're cramping all the games in a short cycle, which means you can't, obviously RT can't televise all the games. That's reasonable. So with the structure, the fixture structure...
Why would it be too much to say you'd have... Like they are being filmed, right? Because there are crews there. That's how you get to watch it behind the paywall.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have one on RT1, another on RT2, and another on TG Cahir?
Well, you see, TG Cahir are not involved at that level because obviously the revenue has been massive for championships. It wouldn't apply. Wouldn't be in a position to take it on, I imagine. No, they do the league games.
Why? Sure, RT own all of them.
Yes, but there's a lot more money involved in the covering the championships than there would be in leagues or under 20 games, that kind of thing. So we're basically down to RT realistically, even since Sky is gone. So this is where this live streaming came in. The GA and RT came together and came up with this. Now, in the meantime, they also brought in this structure with play the championship off an 11-week cycle, which is a blitz, they call it. That's the real issue here because it's cramped the championship. We got maybe 4 or 5, 6 games on every weekend. So we can't see all the games anyway. The platform is not there for us. But we're losing the profile and the platform of the inter-county game, which Hurling needs. That's the biggest problem I have with this.
But I know, and listen, again, I'm pushing back, right? Maybe the GA might say that before all of this palaver over Gago, there might have been one match on a Sunday afternoon or perhaps another one at maybe 6 o'clock on a Saturday, whatever, and that's all that people got to see. Now they're getting to see that and the choice of other ones that you pay extra for.
Yeah, but you see, if they go back to the drawing board and look at the fixture list again and spread out your championship season, then they'll be able to accommodate much better for games. That's the real crux of the problem here.
So this is just pure profiteering, like.
Well, you see, no. Originally, the problem was the club v county player. So the club players, because the championship was too long in the county, the club players, the Corks, the Limericks, the Berries, the club players, then the Black Rocks and the Glen Rovers, their championship was being pushed back, and they were hanging around for months. And guys,
I know that, but
you've got to look after the club player as well, obviously.
I'm just thinking they're trying to behave as if they're Sky Sports, really, where things are behind a paywall, like a big boxing match, where you pay extra for that. Yeah. This is the model of the future, like, kind of thing.
Yeah, I know, but there's a price to pay for this because they'll lose a lot of people. You know, that's the sad reality of it. I think it's greed, to be honest. I call it greed. They will lose a lot of people out this from this. Like,
but why would they lose people if people were passionate about their county game?
Yeah, but if you can't see the games, you need, like, the game has to be on the platform, on the national. You go into your front room on Sunday afternoon, turn on RT, that's where your game should be on. Not trying to get it online and then all this kind of thing on. You know, it's just not on. It's not practical, really, you know. It's very unfair, I think.
Okay, thanks for that. Much obliged, Mike. Keep them coming. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. From yesterday, we got some lovely emails and texts with regards to our tribute to the late Frank O'Flaherty yesterday. Thank you. And Pauline Jackson says, thank you so much for the great coverage you gave Frank on air. All of his neighbours were thrilled and glued to it. It was truly a terrific tribute on the air. Frank would be delighted to have heard it. I'm so sorry to got mixed up with the tribute. But the man, this is referencing to our chat yesterday morning on the air with a photograph of somebody got a Medal of Honor with the same name as Frank. But Pauline reckons that it was definitely a family member, a relation, a different generation, I suppose. And she says that she'll pick up the conversation with the family when she sees them as to who Frank C. Flaherty was, who got the Medal of Honor on board the Oklahoma that was torpedoed by the Japanese in Pearl Harbor. She says maybe the family can throw some more light on it. He had it in very old names and address book in the home when I visited. So it must have been special to the Birdman. There was no date on it. But thank you for highlighting the Birdman of Dawn Square. Keep up the good work, says Pauline Jackson. Thank you for that. And there, another one. After a busy weekend, it was only this morning I learned, says Kate, of the death of Frank O'Flaherty. If I'm being honest, I wasn't completely aware of his Leaside fame until I came across so many tributes to him since he sadly passed away. One morning, though, in November of 21, I was passing Dawn Square and spotted a man with thousands of birds surrounding him. And thank you, Kate. She sent me a photograph, unaware at the time that this was a common occurrence. I took a photograph of the scene. I had seen nothing like it before, and if anything, it reminded me of a scene from the movie Home Alone. It, for me, is one of the fondest memories and the purest memories of Cork I will ever have. And she sent me the most magnificent... I mean, it's like a portrait photograph, really. It's like what something a photojournalist would take. It's the backdrop is McDonald's, the old Woodford Bourne building. Dawn Square is in front. Frank is right in the middle. And there are hundreds of in-flight pigeons all around him. One of them on top of his head. It's a gorgeous photograph that we should actually share ourselves on social because it's absolutely beautiful. Text 0868 104 106. We'll catch up on more emails and texts throughout the morning. Ray, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'll stay with this. Your thoughts. Go ahead.
My thoughts on Diego. Well, first of all, I know from what I know is the members of RT that have shareholders in Diego, and I have another opinion about all this thing. The G is not run by J people no more. It's run by business people. This is my honest opinion. Now I'm reaching at a ripe age of 69 soon, and give me 4 or 5 years, will I be depending on watching matches on TV.
So you're still going to live matches, though, are you?
At the present moment, yes, but I know. Look, I drove down to Newcastle West coming home. I live in Mayo, you see, and I went out to see my friend, and I met a few of his in-laws, and they couldn't see the game at all. And look, it's a game for the ages, and you know, it's crazy. And then to come on Sunday night, that they wouldn't even show the game on the Sunday game, they wouldn't show the game.
Why not? Like, why wouldn't they show it on the Sunday game afterwards? I mean, they have the footage. It would be Cork and Limerick would be classic.
Yeah, look, I remember the Passenger Club, and I see all the people now through the years, and the amount of work they do in coaching. These coaches can't even see the game today. You know, I'm lucky. I have two lads now. They'll be very good, and they have lots of my phone and things like that at home.
Yeah,
but. No, it's just the people that don't have this help, like, you know. It's crazy. The GA are selling themselves out. We sold out the GA to other sports. No, I love all sports, don't get me wrong. But where are we going? August, September is gone.
I'm just wondering, is it the elderly that are being impacted most in this? And the elderly would have been supporters of GAA games, whether it's championships or league or whatever, for 50, 60, maybe 70 years.
Not only supporters, as I said to you earlier in this interview, that these are the people that coach the game. Look, well, I have a fierce opinion. I live in Mayo, and I coach up Mayo, and I coach in Cork. And the point I have is, we're hiding the game away from people that want to get the game.
Yeah.
I mean, showing the game on the television live, what promotion you given there then? It'd be brilliant.
But you see, I think the GAA has to be run as a business because it's a massive organisation that has to have structure in it, and it must have finance arrangements, and it must have budgeting, and it has to have a business plan.
I'm a GAA man at heart, and obvious wise. Look, I follow other sports, but the GAA is my love, especially Holland. And look, you're running a radio show there. I know your RT's biggest income. It's all advertisement. Why do you need to be done to take 3 or 4 more times? The advertisement is based most of that. Like, you know?
Yeah, well, they squander an awful lot of the money. We've seen that over the last 6 months. But tell me, are you in Mayo all the time now? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, belly harness, but I'm down every week to my own club, their passage. I was involved with my cousin there, Paul Mishafty, within Estella, you know.
And what took you to Mayo so far away?
Well, you know, no women have a big power over us.
Oh, you're gone a long time then, are you?
I'm nearly 40 years gone, but I'm in Cork nearly every week or 2 weeks, you know. So.
I can't stay away. I wouldn't think there'd be much hurling in Mayo, would there?
Well, can I say something to you? There's a non-negative, there's a negative approach to people said, I come with a statement here, and I'm saying this a long time. Everyone's on about weaker counties. There's no weaker counties. It's the county boards that are weak, very weak. They don't promote hauling up here. I was involved with a Mayo Minor Hurlers when my son was involved, and we won 2 All-Irelands, and we're coming back with the cups. Not a single out. The county board didn't even promote it, like, you know.
I suppose we're, for many, many years, and you'd know an awful lot more than this than I would, of course, but for many, many years, Cork was blessed in the sense that we were very successful in both codes. Other counties didn't have that blessing. Sure, they didn't. They were like, most of them would be, you know, if they were good at anything, it would be Gaelic football. You'd, okay, you'd have the Limericks now, you'd have Clare, and you'd have your Kilkennys and Waterford and stuff, but few enough at hurling.
Well, I disagree to a point, because the great footballer from Mayo there for the last couple of years, Keith Higgins, I coached, he was a fabric, the hurler. What a hurler. And I have one idea about promoting hurler. To you now, and to all the people that say the Wicklow counties. Well, if I was the judge of the league, we're sitting on our backsides in February inside the stands. Some stands have only concrete seating, like, you know.
Yeah.
And we're dying sick after the game. Well, I was replaced with a centenary cup competition that Cork won in 84. And for every county in it, say Mayo got a draw against Limerick, Galway, Cork, Kenny, whatever. Let's play the match in Mayo. And you see the people showing an interest
true
in that
enough,
game.
Yeah. Oh, I saw a hurling match down in Port McGee, actually, a couple of weekends ago. I think it was a Limerick team, yeah, and a Tipperary team.
Yeah.
And for an area that wouldn't be known for hurling, the place was jammed with supporters.
Exactly. You imagine Limerick going into Mikhail Park in Castlebar. Geez, the people could come out to see Kyle Hayes, Lynch, Flanagan, the whole lot of them lads, you know.
True enough.
You know,
okay,
I don't know what the deal are pushing our bums on the concrete seats in the middle of February. Most of the league is gone in February.
Mind yourself. Don't get the rheumatics. Don't get the arthritis.
Neil, I unfortunately had rheumatic fever twice as young for that.
Oh, Jesus. Well, hopefully it's behind you now.
But it didn't stop me.
Fair play. Look after yourself, Ray. Thanks for listening, my friend. God bless you. Regards to you all above in Ballyhonest. Back after 10. A lot of texts on this and lots more besides. Text 0868104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversation. Pick up the phone, 0818104106. A little later on this morning, live in studio, Damien Dempsey's on Lee's side. He's going to play a couple of songs for us around about 20 minutes to midday, thereabouts. He plays live with the Marquee on June the 8th. Special guests are Hermitage Green, and I believe I'll have Hermitage Green in studio as well in the coming weeks. But it's Damien Dempsey this morning after 11 o'clock, and we have tickets to give away to Damien Dempsey gig, and I think one of the tickets actually is an extra bonus with dinner and things like that. So Damien Dempsey in studio playing us out ahead of his June 8th gig. Serious talent, absolutely serious. He was in studio with me, I'd say it must be a decade, maybe even longer now at this stage. Anyway, text 0868104106. So I heard the news there at 10 o'clock talking about what could have been much, much worse. There was chaotic and dangerous scenes after the Cork-Limerick game at the Blackrock Terrace end, where people wanted to get on the pitch. The right decision was made to open the gates. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. If you don't, then you have a crush. If you do, you have potentially a stampede. And that's why we had a situation develop where at least one teenage girl, according to Tony Lean in the Examiner, a 16-year-old, was caught under a surge to get on the pitch, and possibly two other teenage girls also suffering serious injuries to lower bodies like knees and ankle injuries in a terrifying episode yesterday at the weekend. Just a couple of clarifications, incidentally. I was chatting there before 10 o'clock and there was criticism of the Cork-Limerick game not being shown highlights-wise. Well, it was shown, apparently, Tim says and Liam says, that it was shown on the Saturday game at 9:30, which is the equivalent to the Sunday game, except the highlights were shown on the Saturday game on Saturday night. Liam says to me, don't think I'm defending the GAA or RTE. I'm dead set against GAGO. I just want you to give the facts. Okay, so thank you for that. These were highlights, not the full game or anything like that, but highlights on the Saturday night. Anthony says, the GAA are nothing but greed. All of us parents drive our kids here, there and everywhere and pay for the pleasure of it. A lot of us parents also give up free time to coach and to help out within the GAA organization. The least they could do is let people see the games for free to air if they want to keep people's interest alive. Bear in mind now, as a licensed pair, you're a contributor and you're actually a stakeholder in RTE if you're a taxpayer as well as everything else. RTE have passed on showing some games in favour of other sporting commitments. If GAGO didn't show the games, they wouldn't be available for anyone at all to watch, said Michelle, to somewhat defending RTE and GAA. I know that's one thing that Pa the Piper wouldn't do. Joins me by phone. Pa, good morning.
Neil.
Can you hear me all right, pal?
I can't.
Are you on a speakerphone? I'll tell you what, I'll take a break and come back in a minute and clean that up. Hold on there.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
RT itself is very much dark ages when it comes to technological advancement, really. If you watch Sky, right, or you have Sky Sports, or you subscribe to Sky Sports and you pay the extra for it, whatever your choice may be, I'm sure it might happen in soccer or cricket and things like that. It certainly happens in tennis. They're taking over the tennis now. So you can literally, using the red button on Sky Sports, you can watch any court. You can watch the main court. You're not interested in that game because sometimes they show an awful lot of the English games, the British games that wouldn't be the other ones on. That'd be better. You can go to the other courts. You can select all of the different courts. That's where technology is now when it comes to particularly television. Or you look at any Prime are the same, Prime Video are the same, and I suppose that to an extent we'll find that Netflix will go that way as well. A lot of more interfacing for TV, but RTE doesn't have any of that. I mean, it just doesn't exist. So that's why you got one. I mean, it's not as if you could have all five or six GAA matches that are all going on at the same time, and you could choose the match you want to watch by using the same kind of red button option as you'd have with Sky Sports. But no. Rachel says, I heard about a man in his 80s who's a diehard Cork fan and always the first to Thurles when he was able to go, well into his 80s now. He had to walk out to the street to find out the score of the match on Saturday because the match was behind a paywall. He's no longer able to go to the matches. This is so sad in this day and age that a man who obviously supported the GAA for pretty much 80 years of his life can't even access a match on the television now without having to pay. And it's not as if he mightn't want to pay. Like, say he had the €12 to pay. He wouldn't be able to. He wouldn't have the technology or the savvy to be able to do it. I don't know where Pa is. I think he's on one. See if you heard that. Did you hear that text I read about the man in his 80s there, Pa?
I didn't. I held the disgrace, really.
He'd walk out onto the street to get the score on Saturday. He'd go into GAA matches all his life.
Well, there's one match I missed Saturday because I can't book anything online. I mean, can you hear me?
I can. It's not the best, though, but we'll drive on. Go on.
But I tell you something, I can't book anything in line, and then my family were away and everything, and I tell you something, I'm cutting me short that I can't walk too much. I don't know, like I was doing the last match, you know, with the bomber, and I tell you, I had to get two people to bring me up the steps. It's circulation in my own legs and everything.
Too weak.
I was standing for the hour and a half anyway, like, you know what I mean?
You played the pipes all your life. You played more matches than you've had hot dinners.
All over the globe.
Not just and here, but America, right across Europe. I'm one of the greatest GAA supporters on Lee side, yourself and the bomber.
We should come up here and see me host by for God's sake.
What do you make of Gago, GAGO?
I think this paid by what do you call that? Paid to see a match. No, that's a disgrace, boy, because there's a lot of old people now that I know who went to matches. I'm going to matches now over 60 years. Would you believe I discovered both here that my mother used to have to scrub the jerseys of Vincent's when I was a child? And they set them up the balance sheet to get a bladder for the old football.
There was many a home that were deeply involved in it. My wife's family, her mother as well, could have had 30 or 40 jerseys after a match and the washing machine going all day and night.
And to the old scrubbing board that you had to wash with the bollock soap. Do you ever hear that soap?
I remember it well. Yeah, I do.
And that scrubbing board into as good as the day into over the 80, 90 years old.
So you think the impact on this could well be is very much front and centre of the elderly then?
The year one, like what I'm saying there about them, because just we backed the RDA team to the ground.
The what?
Remember the strike? The RDA players.
The hurlers.
Strike.
The hurlers.
Yeah. We backed them and we had John Bishop, the whole lot, Martin Morris down the park. So, and I tell you something, for this when old people now can't get outside the door, and you, as you said there, they go outside the door to hear what scores in the match and everything. You know what I mean? They're dedicated to GA all their life, and they played all their life. Like you said, they're going to go about But it's the money racket. Mm. You're paying over £100 for a ticket to go to Christian Court and for a semi-final of an All-Ireland. You know what I mean? And as soon as we have a big match here in Cork, so the GM mightn't like me and they can stop me from going to matches. And as the sooner we have a big protest match here in Cork, let us know where the good Cork supporters.
A lot of texts would agree with you. Elise says Saturday night's game was probably the biggest game of the season. It was behind a paywall. It's the older generation that are missing out on these games, or the generation who aren't tech savvy. Cork had three games all behind a paywall. Hopefully the next game on Sunday will be as good as the last one. And then somebody else was suggesting there are many, many people, elderly people, living in nursing homes. They were the backbone of Ireland. Yeah. Not everyone's backbone, living in big cities with fast internet who have the package to watch. So there's loads of examples of people who would be suffering without it.
We used to go down to see Willie John Daly and all them that played with Cork one time. No, that?
Well, I suppose...
They'd be asking it.
Yeah.
They couldn't see a match.
I suppose you can understand why the GAA is known as the Grab All Association, I suppose.
They should have pinned that up instead of supermarket fucking advertisements.
And tell me, how are you bearing up yourself, though? You're getting a bit slower on the legs, but all good otherwise, I hope. Were you in hospital recently or anything?
No, but I'm in first medication. It's an awful trivial bypass, and I got a cold down Hogan last week to dodge old weather, like. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It'd be cold woman in Vaughan Mom another minute. But as I say, the sooner we talk up to the GA now, I tell her something, because they are money grabbers. And I tell her something, they don't respect the old Cork supporters. Now, I have great time for the young fellas, I respect them all. But the old Cork supporters, I can't go to no matches, and they'd be looking forward to the television, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, look after yourself, will you? That's the important thing.
Right. But you're all talk about GAA. You never see a GAA game in your life.
Oh, it's fight and talk. I never admitted. I never admitted to be as big a supporter, as follower, as GAA as you.
I'd say if you were following any team, it'd be down in Kerry, because you spend more time in Kerry than anywhere else.
Skellig Rangers, that's my team. Up the Skelligs.
I cut you now for that one.
I tell you one thing. There was many, I think I was in maybe one or two Croke Park finals ever. I think it might have been as far back as, what year did Cork win the double, the hurling and the football?
1990.
I couldn't even get that right.
In 1990, we did it once more.
I think that's probably the only time that I went to a big GA match, for fear of taking tickets away from real supporters like you. So, ha!
And I bet you didn't pay.
No, I didn't, but I only did it the once, because I got fierce guilt. I got fierce guilt.
I'm going to match the 60-odd years. I tell you something, and I never got a free ticket ever. So you are, if you didn't respect for if you didn't respect me, something to bother on a couple more, you give us tickets for nothing.
If I had him, I'd give you the shirt off my back.
Well, you said that to me years ago, O'Neill.
You said that. What do you want? I'll give you anything you want. Name it.
Well, I'd want a wheelchair for one. I need to go to the matches.
Okay, I'll sort it. I'd push it.
Go on, good luck, Pa.
Pa the Piper. Text 0868 104 106 after the break. Actually, I'll take a call now and then go to the break in a minute. Can I talk to John Arnold down in Flamoy from Oyway? John, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I know your name. You're a big guy head, aren't you?
No, no, that's a compliment or an insult.
It's a compliment. It's a compliment.
Yeah. I'm one of those early common kind of fellas that that played the game early on and found out at about the age of 16 that I was worse than useless at both hurling and football, and was kind of advised after injuring several of my own players that I'd no place tagging out, but that there might be a place for me kind of on the sidelines in administration. As was with the last, yeah, so with the last 50 years I'm involved.
So they found you were useless and put you into management.
Yeah, not even management now, Duke is not that far either, because I wouldn't even do a select, I wouldn't have a clue what a select team, but right. I've been a club officer and representative of the club at the board. Yeah, look, I'm okay. Very involved.
I'm up to date in your CV and your resume then. What are your thoughts on GAGO? The GAGO gate.
I'm look, like last one there. I'm just very upset over it. I'm emotional and upset over it because, like, the concept which was brought in a couple of years ago, in fairness, it was a fantastic concept, and the whole concept of it was to provide games for people who are abroad. We use this word, the diaspora, and there's thousands of people. I have cousins of my own in Africa and Australia, people who played the game and were involved with the clubs and with the county. And maybe they're working abroad, they've been abroad for years. And the whole idea of it, like, and if you can go back, I could try the minutes even of the Central Council meeting where it was brought in first. And the whole idea is that try and show the games to these people, and that would also broaden the horizon, you know, that people maybe in other countries would be looking at GA games. They were saying this is fantastic. And in fairness, like, that worked very well, and that worked well then. And then the whole thing changed, obviously, the whole scene as regards broadcasting and matches and going to matches changed during COVID. And then after that, there's been a kind of a sea change that now the GA, instead of just looking at it as a promotional tool, I know you had other television channels that were broadcasting the GA matches there for a while.
Sky,
and they pulled out Sky and Virgin and things that way, right? So, like, there seemed to be a look, in fairness to the GA, and I had the president on yesterday. They seem to be nearly non-apologetic now at this stage. That is a fundraising, Adam. And I like being involved in the GA with all 50 years. I know the facts that 87% or 88% of all funds created by the GA comes back down to the clubs and the county board and the provincials.
I'm not saying they misappropriate anything, not for a moment, no, but I'm curious as to how much funding they get from the state.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but the point about it is, like,
how much? Do you know?
Hundreds of millions, but like, they deserve that because we're paying VAT on holidays with 50 years. So, I mean, I wouldn't for 1 minute say we shouldn't be, the funding we're getting from the state is minuscule in comparison to what's being put in. But the whole point about the GA, the whole concept of it, my mind is wrong, especially, and I'm not disparaging football, but for hurling especially. I mean, there was two teams there last Saturday night. There was teams in other matches. Like, where did the teams come from? Those teams came from clubs. Who trained them? Ordinary people in clubs. Ordinary people trained those young fellas up to play for their clubs and didn't play for Cork. Do the clubs, the men training and women training young fellas get paid? No. Do the club officers get paid? No. Do the players get paid? And now, after all that, after putting that effort in all across the country, in clubs everywhere, now the backbone of the GA, like that man that spoke a while ago, older men, I'm getting older myself, I'm 67, I'm now told, you rear these fellas, you nurture them, you put them on Cork teams, and now you must pay to see them play. And they compare it with soccer and rugby. There's no comparison. Soccer and rugby are professional games, multi-million.
But there
games.
Still would be the live game of a Saturday, or there could well be the live game of a Saturday and a Sunday, and the extras then you pay for. Isn't that my understanding of it? That there's more options being given now.
Yeah, but look, personally now, the whole idea of having to pay for GA matches, and people say, you pay for soccer and you pay for Sky, different, they're completely different.
Well, hang on a second, people do pay extra for Sky Sports, people do pay extra for movies or box sets, they pay for a boxing match, do you know what I mean?
And there's no, and nearly every, not nearly, everything you mentioned there involves all those sports and entertainment involve professional people where people are paid.
Yeah.
So if they're paid on the screen, I have no problem if I want to watch those because
that's
they're
very
paid,
true.
They're professionals.
That's very
whereas
true.
The GA is an amateur organisation. And like, the sad thing about it is, I mean, nobody, and I had the president on yesterday, and I know him, and he's a decent man, and he spoke very well, Janet Buttons. But the point is, there has nobody come out from the GA and can come out and justify that last weekend and the weekend before, there was not one single hurling match live on television. And like, they've been asked to justify that, and they said it was scheduling and all that. Now, I know, well, you can't just sit down of a Monday with the television channels and say, do you know what, we'll broadcast this one on Saturday. But look, let's be honest about it. You knew, everybody knew, that Cork and Limerick match was going to be a sellout. We didn't know that a week ago. We didn't know that a fortnight ago. We knew that 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no excuse for... And having no match, yeah. no live hurling match on two successive weekends. Normally, we'd be starting the championship now in May. But believe it or not, we're near the end of the championship. In 2 weeks' time, there'd be four teams gone out of the championship. The championship now, because of the split season, is ending in July. We're now competing with Premiership. We're competing with a whole lot of sports that are finishing up their seasons, and we're in the middle of them, so we should be broadcasting. Like, I would say to you and to anybody, you couldn't have too much hurling on the television. You can't have too much hurling. It's a minority sport. It's our national sport. It's not just a sport. It's part of our culture. It's an art form. It's something we should be exposing every young fella to. And instead, we say to them, I was at a wedding last Saturday, and we were in a vineyard where they had paid for this Jago thing. They had paid for it, legitimately, but they couldn't get it. They couldn't get it because it was breaking down and buffering and all this.
Ah, stuff. You're joking me. That was their Wi-Fi, yeah, obviously. Yeah. That bad broadband, I assume.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, like, in fairness now...
And that happens, you know. People pay for it, and then it's buffering, and it just drops off.
Right. And in fairness now, I wouldn't be blaming the government. I wouldn't be blaming RT here. This is the GA product we have come...
No, hold on a second. This is a 50-50 deal. They split the profits between the two.
Yeah, but the GA wasn't forced into a marriage with RT. The GA went in willingly. So, I mean, let nobody say, don't be blaming anybody else. The GA owned the product because we decide what to do with the product.
Okay.
And if we have decided now, that's the sad thing about it, if we have decided now that... the only way that people are going to see hurling games is by paying for them, and the quid pro quo then is that money comes back down to the clubs. That's my thing is a kind of sporting blackmail. You're saying to the people, look, that you pay the money for it and that money will come back down to the clubs. That is wrong. That's against the ethos of our amateur organisation, and it's against what me and, like, the man was on before have worked for. I'm involved in the club with 52 years. There's people involved with 60 or 70 years.
Okay.
There's older people. And even if you had Wi-Fi, hi-fi, the whole beck and fize, there's a lot of people who would still only be able to turn on their television and watch the game.
Oh, I know, they wouldn't have it. A lot of people in rural West Cork, East Cork, North Cork, I know what you mean. Okay, and elderly people. Thank you, John. I'll talk to Finbar in a moment and Paddy, but I just want to come back to some more texts this morning, particularly with other aspects of the Cork game, and that was, you know, drunkenness and young people on the terraces, some as young as 15, with little vodka naggins asleep on the ground. I witnessed 15-year-olds being served in a public house before the game. Their parents are okay with that. They looked older, but no ID was asked for. If they looked older, how do you know they were 15? I mean, maybe you knew them, I don't know. But anyway, you say, witness 15-year-olds being served in a pub. With regards to the match last weekend, there was a lot of teens drunk in the Marina Market, dropping in for a bathroom stop. I was there, I saw them. A handful of them were verbally abusing security staff, especially an older member of staff, calling him profanities for doing his job. Countless girls were using the lads' toilets, and security having to manage a queue for the lads, meaning they couldn't even use their own bathrooms because there was young girls in them. The teens were in an awful condition and didn't know where they were half the time. They could barely even stand. It's awful, isn't it? It really is. Always took my children to Cork hurling matches, but always had the cop on not to take them to the terraces. Common sense would dictate that. Can't come on air. Yeah, very sad. People that out of it. People at that age drinking at all, to be honest with you. And like, there was a day when it was maybe, you know, pints or bottles of beer or whatever the case may be. But now it's vodka and it's gin and it's whiskey and it's rum. Listening to the email you read about the North Mon game in Castle Road last Wednesday, I was at that match. My granddaughter was playing with the Mon. There was not that many at the game. At no time did I hear any of the comments you read out. There was a bit of banter, yes. And yes, I agree, Waterford were the better team. Well, thank you for that contribution. Lots more on the GAA and GAA Go, amongst them Finbar, who points out that he's 80 years young. Finbar, good morning.
Good morning to you, Neil.
And you can't...
I want to give you a clap on the back of my hand first.
Excellent. Go for it. Yeah, why is that?
You were talking to one of the local great historians, John Allen, and you didn't recognise him.
I did. I said to him I recognised his name. I knew his name from somewhere.
That man is the local... He's... Do you buy the Echo? You know, it's your own business.
He's in...
Thursday night, when I open the Echo on Thursday night, I look at the headline... and I look at, I read John Allen. He is outstanding. Anyway, well done, John.
Well, well said. I've duly been smacked in the face. Thank you.
Listen to me. Do you know what's happened to me? I'm 8 years of age and keep sitting in. I cannot go to a match, not even if I can, I don't want to buy it on GA Go. I couldn't get into the park last week. I can't get into a local championship game because I have no iPhone. I can't get in. If I want to, I have to depend on somebody to take me in with them. God almighty.
Explain that to me. Why can't you buy a ticket, go through the turnstile, go, what's the problem?
They won't take a ticket anymore. There's no open gate below in the parks anymore, down in Crystalline Park, down below in Park Heave. There is no more. I've been to the gate and where I've been stopped. And over just because I happened to be on my own, the woman said, one of the people on the turnstile said, look, sir, she said, that's the rule, how you have to go by it. I said, I didn't go to it. Well, I just said, listen, are you going to stop me, you know, at my age, going into the match? I'm a fair player. She let me in.
Okay, so is there not a designated gate or two gates that are for cash or for tickets?
Not here. The GAA broke the rule last year in Kerry. They were told nobody was to go in your school, and they told them, well, we're breaking the rule. They opened two gates. That was on the paper, obviously, in the morning. They collected €14,000 going in the gates, you know.
Okay.
What about anything? But it means okay. I can't go to a match now anymore.
Okay, but like a championship match, inter-county?
Whatever it is, if it's down the park, if it's down Ringy Park, a senior match, I cannot go to it.
You have to buy the ticket online or on a smartphone?
A smartphone. I have to have a smartphone or one of those phones. So I don't have one. No. If one of my family is around at the time and he wants to go, I'll go with him like I did in the Cocklekenny League game. But otherwise, if he's not here, I mean, I can't depend on my family.
Sure, they've lost the plot. They've lost the plot entirely.
What they've done is they've forgotten about the people who kept the GAA going all those years. I've been to every venue practically in Ireland following Cork Hullinger footballers in all grades. And this is my thanks.
My God, I know the world is always changing and evolving, and you know we can't stand still. But
what's the problem? But we're opening one gate below the park.
I mean, I can understand a Cork and Limerick game would be a sellout. Where would you have normally got a ticket for something like that?
Probably in the Piercy, my local club.
Yeah. So do clubs get tickets anymore now?
They do. They get a certain amount of them. Every club get that. I'm involved. I have no problem about the tickets going around. But what I'm saying is, I just can't go to them. I would have been delighted to be down the park last Sunday. Because I've been going to the park since I was practically 9 or 10 years of age, you know?
You're obviously... I know you're upset. I can imagine that you are upset. I can hear it in your voice. I know.
Yeah, but it is. They're not thinking. Those people who are running the GAA today weren't even born when I was going to matches.
Yeah, yeah. Only
so
interested.
You understand, like,
only interested in.
John Allen got it right. Easy. They've forgotten about. You know, they've forgotten about the people. They really have.
And was there no pushback at all about not having cash anymore? Was there not any kind of... Like you say that Kerry went rogue and took cash at different games. But were they the only ones?
Kerry GAA told the GAA themselves, listen, hold on a second. We don't have about 4,000 people here if we go by your way. So they opened the gates and they had about 10,000.
That just nails it, doesn't it? Like
That's what I'm just saying. I can't understand. It's so simple, and still they want to. Why not open the gate at the Blackrock end or the City end? And I'd be more than delighted to go in there.
Okay. All right, Finbar, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Can I just mention, incidentally, bad crash, apparently westbound, very bad crashes. Traffic's as far back as the tunnel, I'm told, and this is about 10 minutes ago. I don't know if anything's changed, but do go safely and take care, because all too often, boy, we're just having way too many crashes. Way, way too many. There isn't a day goes by. This one apparently is a bad one. Traffic as far back as the tunnel heading westbound. I'm not quite sure where the crash is in relation to the tunnel, but it sounds to me as if there's a fair tailback at this point in time. I'll talk to more calls in a couple of seconds. You're always talking to you about the portal. in Dublin, and people acting the maggot there. They call it the anti-social behaviour up there, with people standing in front of it and acting the maggot, showing their arse or holding up pictures of 9/11 or, you know, swastikas or shouting or roaring. I saw a video last night of a fella completely off his face, and this is a video taken on the New York end, and he's just completely and utterly out of it, roaring and screaming and attempting to sing and all sorts of things, fun around the place. And on the New York side of it, they are just laughing at him. I mean, you know, so the images they'll be seeing in New York through these live cameras, they're bad, lads, they're bad. Mind you, it's not an appalling part of Dublin, as you said. Did I use the word appalling? Okay. You need to calm down a bit with your high and mighty Cork viewpoints. It's pretty standard for Dublin. And do you think that if it was on Patrick Street, it would have been any different? Or would it have been just the same? It was a point I was thinking out loud about when I was talking about it. I imagine it probably would have been the same. I think it very much depends on where you put something like that. For instance, if they had put it on Stephen's Green, as opposed to the area that they put it off O'Connell Street, which is, let me call it this, a deprived area in many different ways, and unfortunately leads to an awful lot of people with problems with drink or with drugs or with addiction or with heroin. There's been a, I mean, that's an area of Dublin where it was very much in the news recently with the American tourist, what was his name, Timoney, who got a bad beating up there. But anyway, I just think it's very embarrassing for us, these images being shown overseas of the way that people in Ireland behave. We're making a mockery of ourselves, whether you agree or disagree. Text 0868104106. Eileen says, it's like giving a child an iPhone for Christmas and at Easter, giving them an early learning centre. Pull a long phone. I don't quite follow that. I do my best to try and follow as many texts as I can, but way above my pay grade, that text. Anyway, keep them coming. Text 0868104106. Paddy O'Brien advocates on behalf of the elderly, and it would seem to many people that those that are being impacted most by this ever-changing world, no cash down the park, and now many games behind a paywall, it will impact the elderly more. Paddy, good morning.
Good morning, and I agree with every word that has been said this morning, especially what the previous speaker, Phil McBevan, and John Arnold.
John Arnold, there was a text there from somebody who says an 80-year-old man had to go out on the street on Saturday to ask somebody the score. Yeah,
I heard that. Now, the first thing I want to say is this: the GAA are a great organisation. What they have done for the years and years and years, they're in every village in Ireland, and they've made a great contribution to Irish society. But they have let themselves down very badly. They've demonstrated last year and this year that their principal aim now is a monetary gain. Last year I was on your programme and I spoke specifically about the cashless situation now, the person going out to Parky Queef or Parky Queef or Parky Ring, and no styles whatsoever. Now, straight off, what that has done is this. It has stopped people who worked in the voluntary capacity for many, many years at the GAA. They can't go to matches. You have women throughout the country who did the cooking, preparing the sandwiches after the games, go back to the town, wash the jerseys that you spoke about this morning, your relatives in Berlin. They're all forgotten about. The GAA has given no thought whatsoever to the elderly people. The greatest problem today being experienced by elderly people is simply loneliness. And everything must be done to get them out of their homes. In this situation, they're locked into their homes. I'd say no, honestly, and I'm not exaggerating, I'd say there were more broken-hearted people on the weekend than ever before. I listened to it on the game myself. I listened to it. First off, I spoke to people. That's too expensive.
Was it on the radio?
It's on the radio.
Was it live on radio?
Live, yes, live on radio with Matthew Morrissey, and he did a great job as well. But it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as the television. And I am delighted that the Taoiseach on, was it Sunday or Monday, spoke out about the situation, and hopefully this will not be allowed to continue. Lots of people are hurt. Lots of people are hurt. I know. For instance, I was in a nursing home yesterday and they were complaining about it to me, okay? The same situation, it wasn't turned on. And if you were in a nursing home, they look forward to the weekend for the games. And the people who just live alone or in a house with a wife and perhaps gone beyond walking or getting a bus down to Parky Quay, they'll listen or watch the television. That was all taken away from. And the sad thing about it was this, that the Cork Limerick match got great exposure, and rightly so too, so it was a great, but it was until the very end of the day that people found out that it was a GA goal. You had to pay, and that's unacceptable. And I am thinking principally of elderly people, young people who are still in the pub, they can go off down to the game.
Okay, I understand that. I mean, let me just ask you, because this is another example of, you know, cash not being acceptable, and more it's being kind of like people trying to say, okay, it's just cards and debit cards, and we don't want cash, and we don't want. And the elderly are impacted by that as well. Now, don't get me wrong, my father, when he passed away, was 89 years old. He had a credit card, he had a debit card, and all this kind of thing. But not everybody would.
They wouldn't. No, I have to say this, that I think of the people that I know, and I know a lot of people, very, very few of them would have a card or would have any knowledge whatsoever. I kept 19. And this has to be discontinued. I mean, I'll repeat myself, when I said, I know the government will be criticised now by the teacher, and hopefully some will be good of this. Because last year, when I spoke to you on this programme, on your programme, regarding the styles of Parky Quay, GA said at the time, there was a reply there, and they said, I made a suggestion. I said that in every GA grounds throughout the country, what should happen, there should be at least one cash style. And they said they would give you that consideration, but no more, not in North Africa. And I think that's the easy way, a way out. If you're not disappointing the elderly, you're not disappointing people who want to go and don't have a card, that one, give people a choice, and everybody can get into the game. And that's then it. The GA should go along with that.
That's it. Good points. Well made. Thank you, Paddy. Much obliged. Text 0868-104-106. Paddy O'Brien. With regards to people who go then, I was talking about this earlier on, the problem is people in the terrace now, don't get me wrong, mainly great supporters, but right under the scoreboard, you have a load of idiots lighting flares and just acting like idiots. I used to love the terrace, but now I always go to the stands instead. There should be an age limit put on the terrace. Sounds stupid, but it's necessary these days, particularly because we were talking earlier on about young kids clearly drunk at the match. Listening to one of our parents at pitch side, as a parent of a boy playing soccer and a girl who recently gave up football in Camogie, I can only say that the GA games are toxic. The parents at the side of the pitch shouting at the opposing team. If I hear the word ref one more time at others' teams, I'd scream. When a player on our team would get a penalty, there's a clap and well done. Nothing about how the player is. My child left when it got too competitive, and with coaches, kids getting games, always getting a game, always getting full games, the coaches, kids, while the original players of the team were left on the sideline. It's all too much to do with politics now. In the end of the day, the GAA is in it to win, and win at all costs. It took me years to see it, and I'm glad my daughter is gone from GAA. Text 0868-104-106. Back after the break.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868-104-106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Okay, just a few texts on this, and then I'll come back to it later on if there's more. But the vast majority of texts, of course, are very critical of the GAA and RTE for this profiteering. It's been free for years upon years. It's just the GAA are greedy and it's all about money. Nothing about the old people who follow the sports for 50 years plus, going down the park, paying their money and going in to watch the match. Now they can't even do that. Nor can they watch it on television anymore because they don't know how technology works these days. GAA should be boycotted along with RTE. Actually, Tony makes a point, and I'm just passing that on, this on. If you work out the amount of games that are behind a paywall and you are to pay, it works out at €2 a game, which isn't too bad. How much are people paying for Sky Sports? Well, an awful lot more than that. Then there's one or two more. 100% should be free to air. Going on experience, the elderly are not able to go and see matches and are not digitally minded. It isolates them even more. They're in the comfort of their own home and should be able to watch their favourite sport. It is RTE and the GAA after all. and they don't have the pleasure of seeing it for themselves, and that's sad. Mark says, GAA has a reputation of being greedy. What they fail to realise is that if kids don't have free access to watch matches and parents go to the pub to watch matches, the GAA will fizzle out for the coming generations. So keep those coming. Text 0868 104 106. I want to touch on a topic, actually, and talk with a couple of chaps. I'm probably going to run out of time this side of 11, but we'll bounce back after 11. I should have John. John, is that you?
No, it's Steve.
Oh, Steve. Stephen Wilson, is it?
That's it.
Oh, you're on. Stephen, are you on hunger strike?
I am.
Okay. How long are you without food?
It's a week today, last Tuesday. Okay.
How are you feeling?
Weak. I've got an underlying medical condition anyway, but, you know.
Okay. Are you drinking water?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. But no food for a week. Why?
Because I've been on the streets, sleeping rough, 4.5 years. I cannot get registered as a homeless person. Therefore, I cannot access any services from the Simon Day Centre.
Why not? What makes you different?
I was on the county list, and I'm now obviously in the city, and there seems to be some sort of blockage between county and city. It's almost like it's a different country. There's no information. I mean, the lads at Focus have had to put a Freedom of Information request in just to get my paperwork from county.
Why? Okay, but there is a county council and a city council. They work independent of each other. Are you not trying to access... So you're on the list for the county. Why aren't you trying to access help from county services?
Because there aren't any. I'm in the city. I don't want to be on the county. I want to be on the city.
Okay, okay. And when you come into the city, as you have done, to the accommodation provision service near Anderson's Quay, not too far from the Simon, are they saying, go back to the county, you're on their list?
Yeah, that's it. Backwards and forwards. And then go to county and they say, no, you've got to go to APS. APS told you to go to county. And it's backwards and forwards. And I can't keep doing it. I've had enough.
Okay, and do you mind me asking how old you are, your health conditions?
I'm 62 and I took 2 strokes in 2014.
Okay, are you on medication?
I am, yeah.
Okay, and when you say you're 4.5 years homeless, is that what you said?
Well, actually homeless since just after the stroke, because I had to leave my place out in Dunamore because it was too isolated and I had to stop driving. And I couldn't be walking a 6 mile round trip to the shop just for a jug of milk.
Oh my God. So when you left the home that you had in Dunamore, where did you move into accommodation wise?
I didn't. I just ended up on the streets in the city and I got a place in, where was it? Vincent's in the end.
On Anglesey Street?
Yeah. But after a year, sort of time runs out, so I had to move on from there. And, for the past couple of years, I've been sleeping at St. Mary's, the Dominican church there on Pope's Quay.
Are you sleeping under the church or near the steps or indoors?
The steps, but I made friends with the priests over the years. I've built up a good relationship. And hello to all the Dominicans and the congregation, by the way. I'm doing okay.
Well said for that, Stephen. But how do they help you at St. Mary's?
Well, it started out like they were bringing me cups of tea out in the morning, morning mass. But then the weather turned, it got pretty cold. So they started letting me go into St. Martin, the chapel next door, St. Martin's Chapel.
Yeah.
There's a mattress in there for me, and just after evening mass, they let me into there, and I just sleep there for the night.
Right, right. Were you over those periods of the few years, were you always safe on the street?
Yeah, on the whole, yes. I mean, there are some sort of iffy situations, obviously, but on the whole, yeah, I feel safe-ish. I mean, you can never tell, though. You can never tell what's going to happen next, though.
So in the winter, you would be clearly outdoors with what? Duvets? A sleeping bag?
Sleeping bags, duvets, and as many clothes as you can stand to wear.
Okay. On those long nights and for those years, did you ponder how things could have ever got so bad?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I moved to Cork in 1994. So I've been here 30 years now, and I've been working, you know. I've been just pinged, what was that? sorry.
Okay.
Now, I have been working for the last 30 years, paying taxes, etc. But obviously, since the stroke, I've had to stop. I can't work anymore. I'd never get insurance.
But I'm assuming you get disability, though, do you?
I get disability allowance, all right, yeah.
Okay. And when you say you came in 1994, from where?
Well, from England.
Okay. All right. And why would you? Why did you come? Did you have family?
Well, my mother. We've traced my six times great grandmother to a lady called Kathleen Quinlan from Macroom, but we don't know whereabouts in Macroom.
Mm.
That's all the information we have. So, my mother's side of the family, we are of Cork heritage.
And things were going well, of course. You came from England, many people do, and they came to work and to settle down, and all that was working out until the stroke. But you literally walked out of a home without having anywhere to go.
Well, in the city, at least I was closer to shops than I was out there.
Yeah, you were that isolated, yeah.
Yeah, that isolated was depressing.
Yeah.
You know, and my mental health was suffering and...
Yeah.
It wasn't a good situation. I mean, after the stroke, you know, no one told me to stop driving. I stopped driving myself because I didn't want to take responsibility if I had an episode on the road, you know?
4.5 years living on the streets and a lot of it outside St. Mary's Church. It's a wonder you're still alive, man.
Oh, Neil, tell me. I think because I've been lighting so many candles and going to so much mass the last couple of years, God's got his eye on me.
All right. Okay. Well, we have our eye on you now. Hold on there, if you will.
Thanks,
Stephen.
Neil.
I'm going to come back. Don't go anywhere. I just want to chat with you again after the break and after the news. Text 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
You can always send emails as well if you have a story to share. Email neil@redfm.ie. Playing us out this morning, a couple of songs from Damien Dempsey, who plays live at the Marquee on June the 8th. We've got some great ticket giveaways as well for the Damien Dempsey gig, and he joins me in studio in about 20 minutes time thereabouts. I am so looking forward to it, and I'm sure you are too. Can I just go back to my conversation, because it's unfinished, with Stephen Wilson, who's on his seventh day of hunger strike down at the accommodation provision service near Anderson's Quay, because he can't access all of the services. They would include Simon, to be able to lay his head for a night or to go in and use the facilities there, to get on some kind of a list. He's been pushed from pillar to post and has been pretty much homeless when you look at all of the dates involved since he got a stroke back in 2014. I want to go back to him and just finish the conversation. So Stephen, you're sleeping there at night as well, outside the door,
yeah,
are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to play something for you, that because I know Lee went down and met with you yesterday.
Oh, please don't play Beethoven.
Do you mind if I do? Because I want people to hear. Is this an outside speaker? Is it?
It is an outside speaker, and it goes on from just before 9 in the morning till 9:30 at night. And I was under the impression that City Hall had a downer on buskers playing amplified, repeated tunes. So it seems a bit contradictory and hypocritical, this does.
Why do they have an outside speaker? Let me just play what they're playing, if you don't mind. I know it'll upset you.
On.
Is that to make people go away?
Yes. That's the only reason it can be. It's not for entertainment.
Okay, just stop talking there and let me listen to it. Is that the same piece over and over again?
Over and over again, on repeat, all day, right up until about 9:30 at night.
What's the purpose of it?
It's to drive people away. Because the overspill from the Simon at the Nightline, they end up here, and it's to stop them from coming here and having somewhere sort of sheltered. I mean, this is the whole situation, Neil. I'm not doing this just for me. I'm doing it for all the Cork Irish that are out there in the cold and the wet and the rain.
So you find yourself homeless and have done, lived over in outside St. Mary's Church for years. You find yourself, you can't get on a list anywhere. No one wants to talk to you, nor the city, nor the county. You have nowhere to go, so you stay down there. To add insult to injury, they play on repeat this piece of classical music very loud, Lee tells me. This is a form of torture, man.
It's Guantanamo Bay sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that. It's abusive.
It is abusive.
There it is again.
Yeah.
Have you asked them? Has anyone ever asked them to turn it off? It's cruel.
I don't think so, but like, you know, they know I'm here. They know what they're doing.
Okay.
Well, they won't talk to me. The only word I've had from them is one of the staff in the office. He came out when he was going on lunch. The only thing I've been spoken to about, he came out with a big smile on his face and said, "Your claim to go on the city list has been disallowed." Okay. And he was so happy to tell me that. He had a big smile on his face.
Okay. Well, that's unfortunate that there's that kind of... a kind of disconnect, unfortunately. We do have lists for a reason. The county does its thing.
I understand that. And I've got, but like I say, I'm not doing it to get a free house. I'm doing this. I want to get out of the weather sometimes, maybe get a shower, use the toilets, cup of tea. Is that too much, Stephen?
No, it's not too much, Stephen. It is not too much to be able to ask for a bit of charity that comes from people who are supported by the local communities of Cork, that they give you a cup of tea, that you can get in out of a shower.
The charity thing. I thought the Simon was a charity. Well, it seems in the last week what I've been learning is that APS are pulling the strings and saying who gets in and who doesn't.
You'll be better off, Stephen, to go up to Penny Dinners for a bit of hot food every day.
Yeah, and then I'll come back and what few bits of blankets I've got will be taken away by APS.
Yeah.
I'm not eating anyway. I mean, I know the lads from the Simon, they keep the residents there. They keep coming out and dropping me sandwiches, but I'm not eating them. They're just going in my bag, just in case. Some good news.
Are you gone beyond hungry now at this stage?
I have actually, Neil, yeah.
Awful sad, isn't it, that someone at this stage in their life would be resorting to hunger strike outside homeless services in Cork City?
Well, you know, Yeah, I'm not the only one, though. There's other people just like me. I mean, the homeless, you get the homeless numbers, rough sleeper numbers, and read them out on air quite a lot, yeah?
Yeah, thousands, tens of thousands.
They're wrong, because people like me aren't on that list. We're not counted.
You would be counted, though, as being on the county register, would you not?
Yeah, but not as homeless.
Not as homeless. So what would be ideal for you? I mean, at this stage, a shower and a cup of tea from time to time, in and out of the bad weather.
I
know we're heading into summer now. People are critical that you walked away, unfortunately, Stephen, from a perfectly good home, isolated and all as it was.
Perfectly good. It was an old farmhouse full of black mould.
I know.
I just had the stroke. It was miles from anywhere.
I know. I mean, I feel awful for you. I really do.
I mean, like I say, I'm not doing this for a free house, but if a bed did get offered to me, I'd jump at it and this would be over straight away.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that they could fix the homeless crisis with regards to the provision of beds. They can do it for others on a much bigger scale, but unfortunately, it doesn't seem to happen. Tell me, is there's a pal there with you that spent the last 2 weeks sleeping in his car?
Yeah, John, Billy Goat John.
Did he get a bed?
No.
Now and again, he says.
Now and again.
But that'd be the nightline, you know, the big room where everyone sleeps in the one room.
You can't get in there, can you?
No.
Yeah. And do you intend to stick it out without eating food until this is resolved?
Yeah, because, like, you know, before I did this, the last few weeks, St. Mary's, I've been thinking, what am I going to do about this? And it came down to two clear choices. Go in the river or go on hunger strike here.
And do you have thoughts like that?
I do, yes. All of us do. All of us homeless have thoughts like that. All the time.
Well, if you see no hope...
I've had to be pulled off the bridge by friends before, like, because they've never realised what I'm thinking of doing. They've just had to take me away. Come and have a cigarette and a cup of tea. And a chat sort of thing.
Looking out for each other.
Rough.
Yeah.
They're exactly looking out, yeah.
I have to say, Stephen, it doesn't sound to me as if you, in one sense, you're lucky you haven't become ravaged by drink or by drug addiction.
No, I gave up drugs before I came to Ireland 30 years ago. And in fact, funny story, it was because I just cut them off totally. And friends of mine said, you should go to Ireland, there's hardly any there. You know, it'll be easy to stay away from it. But as soon as I get over... Bang, what happened?
And look at the state of the place now.
I know. I despair. I really do. It's not the same country I moved to at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the temptation to start using again must have always been there. All credit to you for not.
Well, it always is. Ask any recovering addict. It's always there, nagging at the back of your mind. You just got to be able, be strong enough to, and just remember the situation you were in. And realise you don't want to go back to that. And as long as you can do that...
Is there anything we can do to help in the short term?
Oh, God. I don't know what... No, I think the only people that can help is APS and the Simon.
Okay. And for that to happen, you are going without food and have done for 7 days. Do you mind if I stay in touch with you, my friend?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I might be on a different number because this is John's phone.
That's all right. We'll
I gave my phone to a friend of mine yesterday to charge up.
Okay.
And he still hasn't come back with it. So.
Okay.
But I'll let you lads know my number when I get my phone back.
Yeah. That
I can't remember it.
That music is very disturbing. I think it's Beethoven's Fifth Symphony on repeat. That's very.
Yeah, it is.
That's very unkind. It's very uncharitable. It's wrong.
It's the theme music to A Clockwork Orange, the movie.
That's it. I'll stay in touch with you, Stephen, all right?
Thanks, Neil.
Cheers, pal. Take care. Text 0868 104 106. I know I already see people are, you know, unfortunately critical about leaving a home for nowhere to go. You know, we all make choices in our life. We all go down different paths. We make decisions in our life. I mean, I think at the time he felt maybe it was the right decision to make. It was very isolated. He had two strokes. It was riddled with damp and blue black mold and all sorts of stuff like that. I suppose, lads, if we could all change, you know, if we could all go back in time in a time machine, there are many things in our own lives that we do differently, right? Text 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Text 0868 104 106. Pick up the phone on 0818 104 106. Alphonse.
Hello, Neil.
All right, we have an update on the bike, right? For those that may not recall this, we've been staying in touch with Alphonse. He's a voluntary blood biker. He had his own bike, and of course that was being used to transport blood products, medicinal products to people who need it. The bike was only stolen. How long ago, Alphonse?
I think about 2 weeks ago now at this stage.
Okay, big bike, expensive bike, much needed to save lives. Lot of sightings on the north side for a period of time over the last week, 10 days or so. Gardaí at the time said that the procedures now dictate that they can't give chase, right?
That's correct.
Okay, okay. And that's where we were at until Monday night.
Correct. At about 11 o'clock last night, I got a call from the Gardaí stating that the bike has been recovered and that it was involved in a serious road accident. So in the meantime, people have been sending me some images and stuff like that, and it was definitely my bike that was involved in the crash that happened last night in Knocknaheeny.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So Gardaí are appealing for witnesses to a road traffic collision that left a teenager in hospital. Monday night, Courtown Drive, Knocknaheeny, car and a motorcycle crash. Male youth, late teens. He's the guy on your bike, has been left with serious injuries following the crash and has been brought to Cork University Hospital for treatment.
That's correct.
That's a fairly serious end to this story, isn't it? Somebody in hospital with serious injuries.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, as I've been on your show before, and we've talked about this before, you know, this would never have happened if my bike was left alone. And it's a harsh thing to say, I know, but that's more or less a fact, you know?
Okay, you're skirting around the fact here that if that bike had never been stolen or he wasn't up on it, driving it at a speed or recklessly, he wouldn't have been hurt and it's his own fault?
I am going to, you know, I'm not going to disagree with you.
Okay, and you know something? Maybe if it was my bike or my car or something that I had spent hard-earned money, I might feel the same. I don't know. I kind of understand if you felt that way.
Yeah, no, look, it is what it is. As I said, I mean, look, I don't want to see anybody hurt.
No one does.
But at the same time, as I said, if this bike was still inside my back
yeah,
drive,
I know. Yeah.
Where it belongs,
yeah, I get you.
It
I get
would
you.
Never happen, you know?
There are consequences for your actions, is what it's about, really.
Exactly. It's a very harsh lesson to learn, but okay. I think it needed to be learned.
Okay. Yeah? Hope that youth makes a full recovery, and hopefully, at some stage, the penny will drop. And they cop themselves on. Don't even know, this may not have been the person who stole your bike, incidentally. But, I mean, okay, so we've dealt with somebody in hospital, serious injuries. What's the bike like?
I have seen pictures of it. Gardaí have informed me that it's not in too bad a state, but obviously they're not mechanics, so they're not going to be able to tell me anyway. The plastics on it, the fairings are all pretty much cracked and broken, et cetera, et cetera. So I think I'm probably going to get the bike back within the next couple of days to have a look at it and see where we stand. You know, depending on the damage, I might still have to go through an insurance company, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, that's all part of the course, I'm afraid.
You relieved?
I am somewhat relieved in a way, I guess. Yeah. You know, obviously, I mean, as I said, you don't want to see anybody getting hurt, and, you know, especially a young fellow in his teens. But at the same time, there's some relief that it's over for me. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, I put it down to people need to be aware that sometimes there are consequences for your actions. In spite of that, if he learns his lesson, let him make a full recovery and lead a good life. Will your insurance pay out?
That is still a 50-50. Last time I checked, they were looking for an evaluation on the bike, and I was hoping to hear back from them this week.
Okay.
So that's still up in the air.
Okay, okay. Stay in touch, will you?
Will do indeed, Neil.
All right, my friend. Okay, take care for now. Alphonse Peters, the bike's been recovered, he being a voluntary blood biker, and it provides very, very important services for those that need blood or medicinal products delivered quickly. We'll pick up on this again if there's an update. Text 0868 104 106 for all other business. In studio after the break, I've been looking forward to this for weeks, the one and only Damien Dempsey.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
All right, lines open. Text 0868 104 106. You hear in the background the great Damien Dempsey warming up. Sound check is over, Damo, my man. Sound check is over. Welcome back to Leaside.
Oh, thanks very much. Great to see you, bro.
Okay, the voice, well exercised. Let's get stuck into it and we can chat in a few minutes time. This needs an intro, I think, so on your own time.
Yeah, the song is called Let It Go. It's I see a lot of people just haunted you know, by things from their past, and their past is kind of owning their present, you know, it's sucking all the life out of their present, and they can't be the person that they should be, you know, they can't bring joy and help other people the way they should and be happy in themselves because of something in their past, you know, that they haven't dealt with, you know, they haven't, you know, sort of faced, you know, so it's, that's what this is about, you know, facing it and forgiving and letting it go, you know.
Letting it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, letting it go.
Yeah.
unbelievable. You may well have heard the beautiful Baron playing as well of the great Eamon de Barra on the right-hand side of Damien. Let it go. We can make this world a better place. And we've been saying it, or they've been saying it.
In a little way.
Yeah, but since the 60s, since flower power, since anti-Vietnam protest, it's not a better place, man. What are we going to do? I mean, you're the social commentator, you're the political commentator, you do it through your music.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
Well, if you look at, say, the last century, like, you know, Second World War and all the First World War, Jesus, man, like, it was 80 million people dead in the Second World War, you know? That was like, it was worse.
Yeah.
Back then, you know? It was worse, you know?
You think there's always hope then?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Always hope, yeah.
In spite of everything, the homelessness, the problems with drugs, the division in society, the different crises we're going through, the growing amount of disquiet.
Yeah, if you go back a couple of centuries in this country, like, this was hell. This place was hell, you know? Like, it really was. If you go the further you go back to when the hard colonialism was happening, like, it was genocide and, you know, starvation and, you know, it's a lot better now than it was. Jesus Christ, you know?
It is, but there, I mean, I don't want to be, because you're glass half full, obviously, I can see that.
Yeah.
But do you not see the challenges that are there? I mean, particularly, certainly in Cork, but on a greater scale, even Dublin, with homelessness and addiction issues. Music saved your life, didn't it?
It did, absolutely, yeah. It really does, yeah. And it saves lots of other people's lives, you know. I'm just trying to bring some healing to the land, you know, with the music.
You're doing that every day. I saw the Cypress Avenue gig was a mind blower because the first time that I'd seen you in a venue like that, it's like you have a tribe. Would you call it like a tribe of fans that are so probably ultra loyal?
Yeah, they are. They're amazing. They're amazing. They really are. And it's just whatever's coming through me, it's coming from a good place, you know. But it helps a lot of people, you know. And it helps me, you know. And when they tell me that how much it's helped them, it helps me through my dark times. And, you know, so
there was a huge amount of love in that room.
Yeah, it's huge.
And there was what, 800-900 people in it at least.
Yeah,
and you could just feel the connection. It's rare you get that. You get it with Christy, you know. You might get it with Dylan. And you backed Dylan. I know that. You might have got it with, I don't know, the Beatles or people like that. Lou Clancy, Shane McGowan.
Sure. You know? Yeah.
And you.
Yeah.
That's the level of your game now.
Yeah, I've been watching all these heads, you know. I've been watching them all my life, you know. I supported Christy lots of times and supported Sinead O'Connor and Shane McGowan. And God bless them. We lost some great singers last year, you know.
Oh, listen, I know.
Seamus Begley and Christy Dignam and Sinead and Shane and, you know.
It was a very funny line I read where Sinead wanted you to go on tour and you thought it was as a bouncer, was it? The
door. What, you wanted me to do security, yeah?
Do people confuse you for the door? Do they?
Yeah. I'm the smallest in my family. I'm only,
oh my God.
I'm only 16 and 17 stone, you know. I have two big brothers.
Oh my God.
They were dormant. You know? They used to actually do the door.
Well, your chosen path has been the correct one. No disrespect to them, because your talent is awesome. The re-release, what was the big breakout? It was Seize the Day, wasn't it?
Seize the Day, yeah.
So that's over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You reissued that and it sold like hotcakes again.
It did, yeah. We went to number one, yes. It was great. And we have a double album coming out now this year called Hold Your Joy.
It's amazing what you've been achieving.
Yeah, it's great, yeah, it's great. Won the Abbey Theatre as well, the National Theatre, myself and Eamon.
Who'd have thought, you're probably saying?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. A fella said to me down the local pub, he roared over, Dempsey, it's a long way from the Abbey you were there. And he had a Man United jersey, and I said to him, it's a long way from Old Trafford, you were there, but I don't give you shit. So go and show you.
Oh man, I love it. I love your pretty smile. I love the apple of my eye. I loved a great rendition that you did. You did A Hungry Feeling with, was it Glenn Hansard?
That's right, yeah.
That's electric.
Yeah.
Got to be the best version of that I've ever heard.
Oh, thanks very much, Neil. Yeah, that was a good one. Raised a nice few bob for Vincent and Paul.
Big time you did. Could I coax you or encourage you for another tune, do you think?
Can you do one outbreak? I have to tune up.
You're the boss, back after the break.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
You're lucky, lads, because there's nothing pretty at all about tuning up a guitar, so it's out of the way now.
Poxy.
In your own time, the great Damien Dempsey, accompanied by Eamon de Barra.
This is about our wonderful sing-song culture, Neil, and we have to try and keep it going, you know. I'm in a project to try and keep it going in schools. I'll tell you about it afterwards, but it's called Sing All Your Cares Away.
such as chat shows and the soaps. Broken hearted, but she copes. And Michael's out of work. Feels he's sinking in the muck. He's unshaven and a mess. Finds it hard some days to dress. Stevie smashed to death. Cause he can't express himself. Child has a lovely little smile. This means nothing to her father. He's never even seen her. We sing all our cares away. We live. His mind, but he's trying to toe the line. And Maggie's in a chair. It was joyriding put her there. She puts the kettle on the boil, and she's always got a smile. We say.
Think of anybody else that prefer to be sitting across being entertained by
thanks a lot,
than you this morning, my man. That's awesome stuff.
I only got 2 hours sleep last night, but look,
that's your own fault. I must ask why.
No, we had to get up early to come down to Cork, you know, so and I don't sleep.
Oh, it's my fault.
I don't sleep till about 4 or 5 o'clock, you know.
It's the biological clock you live in, yeah.
Yeah, you're doing gigs, you know.
Well, it's an extra honour then that you would go with that sleep to come down to Leaside, where you're much revered.
I love this town.
And they love you. And tell me, you wanted to chat about keeping music live or keeping people singing?
Yeah, I'm in a project with this great fella out of Galway, Philip Cribben. He's an activist, you know, and a teacher up there. And he has a project called Inspiring You, you know, and it's just trying to get the kids off phones. And
tell me about it.
We have this sort of project called Songs and Stories, where we're trying to get schools to allocate half an hour maybe to get the kids have a little sing song or tell a story or a joke or a... do a dance or whatever, you know. And families and community groups and, you know, old folk homes, you know, just rekindle old songs, get people singing and telling stories again, you know. Keep the sing song tradition that's a wonderful link to our Gaelic past. Keep that going, you know. So
yeah.
We just launched it there in the school in Dunamade where I'm from.
Do you think it would go national?
I think some teachers will take it up, you know. If you go to Inspiring You website or my Facebook page, there's a link to it, you know.
Inspiring You or Damien Dempsey's website page. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And the Munster Music Academy are involved as well. They're brilliant. They're a great group.
Okay, good luck. You're always looking for the next thing that can help or make life better.
Sure,
for people.
Yeah.
Through your music.
Yeah.
You know, and through your commentary.
Yeah.
Now, the gig in the Marquee, that's a big one.
It is indeed, yeah. Can't wait for that now. Yeah. I done it a long time ago, but I wasn't ready.
Why do you say that?
I hadn't got my confidence then, you know. I'm going to eat alive. I'm going to tear the roof off it this time, you know. And I had to follow on the amazing Frank and Walters as well. You know, that was a nightmare.
Yeah, so what was it like? Were you nervous? Were you shy?
Yeah, very nervous. The confidence wasn't there, you know.
When I saw you in Cypress Avenue, you bounded out onto the stage. Like you owned the place.
I've arrived now.
Welcome to the newly improved Damien Dempsey.
Well, I'll tell you how bad it was. Christy Moore asked me to do two songs with him one time at the Point Depot, and I was that nervous. I was walking down to the Point Depot from my mother lives beside us, you know, and I was going to walk out in front of a car. I got a broken leg so I wouldn't have to do the gig. And, you know, a small, slow-moving car, like a smart car or something, you know, but, you know, a clown car or something, you know. But
because he'd be an idol. And, like, I saw a video once of Kris Kristofferson with Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash was doing Sunday Morning Coming Down. It's Kris Kristofferson's song. Yeah. Kristofferson was standing next to him, and he was just a bundle of nerves.
I know.
So it happens to the best of them, including you.
Can imagine me, I couldn't see any small cars anyway. All I saw was SUVs, so I said, I'm not that nervous, you know. So, but I grew up, and Christy called me out, 10,000 people sitting there, you know. He called me out in the middle of a set, and I was shaking like a leaf. I remember I started playing the song, and my right leg was just shaking uncontrollably. And somehow, some little granny up the front shouted up, "He's like Elvis."
The pelvis.
I thought she meant me looks. It was me leg. Stop shaking, you know.
Well, it was a baptism of fire, wasn't it?
It was, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, well, listen, I don't want to push you for any more. If it's two you plan to do, it's fine. If you want to do another one, I'm game ball if you are. So is he even put in the spot?
What do you think? I'd probably have to tune up. If no more ad breaks, I'd probably have to tune again.
Well, I'll give you 20 seconds tuning. While that's happening, I'm very rude asking for a third song, but why not? While you're doing that, we've got some tickets to give away for Damien Dempsey playing live with the Marquee on June 8th. All right, so two pairs of tickets. One pair of tickets is a straight pair of tickets for the gig. It's going to be an incredible gig, guys. If you've never been to a Damien Dempsey gig, it is electric. The catalogue of music is incredible and the atmosphere will be terrific. The second set of tickets is the same for the gig plus dinner at Sober Lane beforehand. So we'll take callers 10 and 11. Pick up the phone now on 0818 104 106. If you're under pressure, I understand, but if you want to go for it, please do.
I'll give you an old show. Give you an old show there.
Fair play to you. You wouldn't let the Cork Onions down.
Bit of an old love song. Oh no, I couldn't let the Cork down. Couldn't let the Rebels down.
Kiss my lips.
baby, baby, hold on me closely, softly, sweetly kiss my lips, my lips. Oh, baby, 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 hold me closely.
And all that with only 2 hours sleep.
Jesus.
He's faithful. You're a Trojan, but the texts are flying in and people welcome you back on, Lisa. They call you the legend.
Thanks a lot.
The legend.
Some call me the langer, some call me the legend.
Actually, it's the 20th anniversary of the Langer song.
Oh, that was a great
this
song,
month.
That's a great song.
And the band are coming out to play and reunite here in this studio.
Brilliant.
20 years later.
Oh, savage, I'll listen to that now. Brilliant.
There's versions of the Langer song all over the world, that's licensed great. By the band here. There's a Dutch Langer. There's a German Langer. There's even an English Premiership team, I think, like Oldham Athletic or something like that, have the Langer song.
That's
that
great.
You need to write a song like that, Damo.
Absolutely, I wish. I wish you could.
Anyway, listen, great to see you. You've been a gent for coming in and playing not two, but three songs. I want to congratulate Laura Hayes in Ballyvolan. She's got dinner and tickets for Damien and the gig. And Michael Phillips in Toker also going to the gig.
Lovely.
And it'll be a wonderful event.
I used to work, I've done a bit of work on Toker, just subsidence, digging up subsidence.
Did you?
Walls, yeah.
Oh, were you in construction?
I've done a bit with Owen Coughlin, the great singer from Bishopstown here, you know.
Yeah, half the south side is falling apart with subsidence, I think. But I think most of it's macchiato. I think people were getting it done, they didn't need it all, they were getting a grant for it.
I'm saying nothing.
There's the song in that, the subsidence song.
The subsidence song, there you go.
Anyway, good to see you. Good to
thanks,
see you both.
Thanks a million.
Well done, well done. Terrific, great stuff. Can't wait for that gig. Damien Dempsey plays with Hermitage Green. I think Hermitage Green are in studio with me in the next week or two, so that'll be fun to look forward to. And more, yeah, they are terrific. And we got more and more tickets to give away right across the next month. From Damien Dempsey today to the Sugar Babes tomorrow. Not in studio, but I will be giving away tickets nonetheless, and lots more to do between now and kickoff. There's a big row on Lee's side at the moment, Damien, regarding the GAA. I don't know whether you're a big fan, you know, the GAA Go thing, everything behind the paywall, Cork and Limerick game and everything. The world is changing, man. Could you write a song about that?
I'll try. I'll try. I'll do the subsiding song first, of all.
I'll probably get sued. Anyway, lots on that, so we'll come back to it in the morning, promise you that. Lines will stay open, text 0868104106, pick up the phone on 0818104106. And following the passing of Frank Flaherty, the Birdman of Dawn Square, another song. This guy in Cork, for years, he fed the pigeons, thousands of them down in Dawn Square, not too far from the Cold Cake.
Sure.
And he passed away at the weekend.
Right.
Thousands of them. You go out every morning, buy corn, you know, and bring it down, feed the birds. City Council wanted him to stop and everything.
Yeah.
But he passed away at the weekend, and he's a right Cork legend that everybody loves.
John Spillane's the man for that song.
No, Miles Gaffney's the man for it.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, Miles. Miles is great.
And he's written a song. He's going to play it for us in studio tomorrow.
Miles is brilliant. Tell me, said hello, will you?
I will. Okay, nice one. I'll let you go now. Go get some sleep. Damien Dempsey, great to see you on Lisa. Don't be a stranger for so long again. So Miles Gaffney playing us tomorrow. So we've got great music, a week of music ahead. Have a good day. Lines will stay open. Text 0868104106. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.